This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes. Our guest today is Jonas Hofer, 89 years old, an incredible man with an incredible story. And if you're from the area of Sanger, Reedley, Dinuba in Central California, maybe you bought a typewriter, remember those, or a musical instrument, or religious goods from Mr. Hofer at Dinuba Typewriter and Gospel Supply, a longtime business there that he passed on to his son. There wouldn't be a son, there wouldn't be any kids or any grandkids if Mr. Hofer hadn't survived a tragic car accident nearly 75 years ago. Maybe you heard him say that that car is still at the bottom of a canyon out toward Kings Canyon National Park. And none of those people would be here if he hadn't survived the torpedoing of the second cruiser Houston in the Battle of Formosa in October 1944. He described the jolt he experienced when that first torpedo hit, and then days later when the torpedo bombers came back after the Houston and struck again. At that point, he finally abandoned ship. But before we took that break there, you said you didn't know when exactly you left the ship. That moment is a bit of a blur for you?
I have tried to think of that. I've been asked about it. And I know Dyke and myself got together in the water then. And when I came to in the water, there were about 25 of us in the water and that. And you'll think this is funny, and I think it is too, is that we started singing some hymns. And the hymns I remember we sang, one of them was, "There Shall Be Showers of Blessing." Now, why would you sing a song like that? It just seems crazy to me. Why would you sing "There's"? But I guess because most of the sailors knew that song. We sang that and some other hymns and that there in the water. And then it got dark and we got parted. And pretty soon we weren't close. And Dyke and myself, we tied ourselves together with our belts. And we were in the water. And then the next day, the sun came out. During the night, we saw some ships come close. And we were afraid. And first, they'd go over us, but they didn't. But we were afraid to yell out because we didn't know if they're Japanese or ours. Because there were so many ships in the air, Japanese and that. And we were pretty close to Formosa there, too, you know, 80 miles about that time. They figure that during those 2 days, we were towed about 80 miles on the water.
Couple questions. You said when you came to in the water, you said you don't remember when you went off the ship. Did you get off the ship under your own power, or were you blown off the ship, or you don't know?
I don't know. I think I got off my own, but I can't remember going over the side of the ship. And then it was after I was in the water, Dyke swam up to me and I recognized him. So we tied ourselves together with our belts and then we wanted to stay together.
And did you have a Mae West or any kind of flotation device?
I had two of them. I had a Mae West and then I had the other one, which is a rubber one that has a little hand. You pull it and it blows up and it goes underneath you. The Mae West, after 3 hours, was worthless. It was taking us down that night. And so we both took our Mae West and just dropped them. They sunk, actually. But these rubber ones we had, those were good. Those stayed. And they, if they went down and had a leak in them, they also had something you could blow them. And that's what kept us up till the next day. Yeah.
How many hours were you in the water?
Between 14 and 16. I don't know exactly when we went in. I know I was picked up at about 10 o'clock next morning. It was about 6 o'clock in the evening, while the sun was going down, when we got that second torpedo. And I just don't know, like I say, I cannot reckon at all of when I went in the water. But I know there, because Dyke swam up, and we swam together and tied ourselves together, and we sang these songs in the water. I know that much. And then during the night, we got parted, you know. In the morning when we got picked up, there was nobody close to us. And the USS Grayson was still in a battle then. The ships were still fighting there again. They'd gotten into battle again. And what they did with our ship, they towed it as bait for the Japanese planes to come out, and then our battleships and those, and our pilots would shoot them down. But they missed this one Betty that came in, saw our oil slick, and came in the side and gave us the next torpedo.
I've talked to a few guys who have had to abandon ship and who have had to survive the water for some time. And in different spots, there were different hazards of the water. What did you see? What did you experience floating in the water? I mean, were there things burning around you? Were there things to hold on to? Did you have to fear sharks at all? What did you have to deal with?
There was a lot of wood and stuff and seats and different things in the water. There was a lot of that stuff in the water, a floating metal and some metal and that there. See, the tornado had went through there about 3 days before that. And so we had white caps go over our heads all the time. And you was wet continue. But the water temperature was 87 degrees. So it was warm when you started out. But by the next day, when you'd been in it over 12 hours, I think I was in it, I'd say 14 to 16 hours, somewhere in between. I was so weak from being in the water so long. And of course, we hadn't eaten in maybe 30 hours that I couldn't even climb the ropes on the ship. What the Grayson did is they couldn't stop, because then they'd get a torpedo. So they kept going, but they put a boat. And the boat took one circle, picked up eight of us. And then while they were picking us up and we was getting on, a torpedo went under the ship. The sailors said it had been set a little too deep, maybe for a battle wagon or aircraft carrier. So then when we got up, of course, and got on, two sailors came down and got me under the arms and brought me over the, because I couldn't climb. I was just so tired and that. And then Dyke says, well, let's thank the Lord. So we knelt down there and prayed. And there were about 100 sailors around us, plus officers and that. And I can remember when we prayed, they were just all quiet. There was really respect. And I really appreciate that when we, and so after I prayed, I looked up kind of and I saw these guys all standing with their hats over the like that there and looking down that. So we were really respected because we had the Bible classes, I think. I think that's why. I don't think they would have done it otherwise.
And along those lines, maybe some folks aren't familiar with what the navigators were as they were founded during that time period. How extensive was that program on your ship?
Well, the officers and the captain was for ours, for us having those there. Because they figured that the more guys that followed the Bible, the less problems they'd have in shore patrol and stuff like that, which was right, yeah. So we would have every Monday night from 8 till 9 o'clock, we would have Bible studies and verse go over some of the verse memorized the guys were, and find out how they're getting along in their Christian life and that. Of course, we had a lot of booze. You know, the guys called us preachers and Bible thumpers, and they had a whole bunch of names. But in the wall, in the water there, they swam up to us and were all very good to us and that. And even aboard ship, like I say, while we prayed there and that there, of course, they realized, well, here these eight guys were just saved out of the water and that there, so they have something to be thankful for. And we were.
For sure you were. I know I would be, and I imagine every single person out there listening right now can identify with what you must have been feeling, or at least imagine what that might have been like. We're getting so close to the end of our time that I'm going to save the rest of this conversation for next time. We'll explore more of that experience of being torpedoed, abandoning ship, the uncertainty of floating in the water overnight, and what it was that helped Mr. Hofer persevere through all of it. He still had another ship to serve on before the war was over, too, and just in the last few months, Mr. Hofer got to experience the National World War II Memorial thanks to Honor Flight. So we'll take some time to discuss that, too, including the special connection he had with his assigned guardian for that trip. If you're a sports fan, it's a name that I think you're going to know. I didn't intend to set you up for a cliffhanger. That's just the way it worked out this time. And as you wait for the rest of the story, make sure you hop on Facebook and type in Hometown Heroes Radio. You can see some terrific photos of Mr. Hofer then and now. And there are photos of all our other guests, of course. It's been an exciting year for Hometown Heroes. I'm thankful we were able to bring the show to new audiences on the Central Coast and in Kern County in 2013. And I'll look forward to the start of another year and all the great memories it'll bring our way, including the rest of Mr. Hofer's story. That's it for now. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.